Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. We need a word from the Lord, a word from the Lord, just one word.
Good afternoon. This is thank you for tuning in to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program, host Brenda K. Sanders. Thank you that you have joined into the program today. And as I always say, this is a motivational outreach program. I think I've called it some of everything, but I've always included the motivational element of the program. That's the only reason why I'm here every Sunday, to motivate someone or to keep someone uplifted. That is the task of the exhorter. And to be an exhorter, you simply have to be positive. And I find that my life as an exhorter is on automatic positive. And there are tests that come to cause me to be negative. And let me tell you, I stumbled in that area because I know I'm an exhorter. I'm definitely a positive person. And I know that the enemy has come to really test my positive spirit. And even in those very dark times, those very dark places, I have maintained my positive spirit. And the reason is because experientially, that's a big old word, isn't it? Well, it really is nothing. It means from my experience, I have learned that God will overcome, cause me to overcome, and have victory over very, very dark circumstances. And the fight is in the dark places. It is so easy to wage a war in positive places where you think you're going to win or you know you're going to win. It's not really a battle then. It's just an exercise. But if you want to be a warrior on the battlefield of the Lord, you're going to have to fight in very dark places and maintain your positive attitude and continually motivate yourself to be positive. I think I've told the story before here on Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is a story. I was doing a Christmas CD. I made my mind up. I wanted to do this Christmas CD. I was trying to just put some Christmas songs together to just package up and pass out a CD, charge maybe $10. That's what I started to do, even though that's not what it ended up being. And as I embarked on this task, I'd already secured some studio time. I was about to go take my music, my instrument into the studio and record. And I'm going to make this one story very short. And as I embarked about a month into this endeavor, I fell and broke my arm in three places. Can you believe it? The harpist, the chief, joint of the harpist is the wrist. I broke my wrist and my arm in two places. And that's not all. But nevertheless, I was so disappointed about that because while I had really, really prepared to do this Christmas CD, this was about July, okay? So we're talking about July, the beginning of July when I fell. And so I'm saying there's no way. I walked out of that hospital with a cast from my shoulder blade all the way down to the knuckles of my right hand. Well, you play with both hands, so, you know, with the harp. But I could not believe it. I could not believe it that this very awful, tragic incident had taken place. Well, I had to motivate myself. I had to reset my mind with these very, very bad circumstances. I mean, we think every day that we have it bad until we look at someone else. It's always someone else that's worse than us, and we don't realize it half the time. I think the lesson I've also learned from the Lord is never take things for granted. Don't take your walking for granted. Don't take your talking for granted. Don't take your seeing for granted. It's very precious. And yet I think we walk every day and take these things for granted. And when they are taken away, they have a major impact on our lives. Well, what happened was I was still determined. I saw that as an attack of the enemy. I was still determined to launch the CD. I knew I had an uphill battle. The doctors had indicated to me that it would be at least 12 weeks before I would recover from this injury. And now, wait a minute. I had to spend 8 weeks in a cast and then another 12 weeks of physical therapy. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so I was well into, when I got ready to get going, I was well into coming close to Christmas season when you would, you know, get out and promote. Well, I'm really just moving. I would go to my physical therapy. This is what after I got out of the cast. Imagine, I was in total, just really, really dark circumstances when I waited the 8 weeks to get out of the cast. And all I could do was read my music and spent some time at my mother's home. Of course, they had to assist me. I was having some problems. And all I could do was read my music. I couldn't envision the dream that I wanted to realize at that point, because here I am with the biggest cast ever on my arm, and I could not manipulate the way I wanted to. Well, after I got out of the cast, I could not play the harp like I wanted to, because my fingers were stiff, my wrist was stiff, my arm was stiff, and essentially, when they took me out of the cast, I mean, I had all kinds of skin peeling, I was really stiff. It was a horrible sight. I can't even imagine now how I got through that. But because I did not have the physical capability to carry out and execute the things I wanted to do to fulfill the dream, I had to look, you know, put in front of myself visual cues, things that would trigger my motivation to keep going. Project was okay, as it turned out, but it wasn't my best. What I did is, I think I told the story before, I had my sister who does do websites, produce a website for me. Well, the first thing I did is I got a photographer, took a picture, created a CD cover, and then made a website and so forth. You know, I just went back and forth every day and sat down and looked at that website every day, looked at a picture of the album I wanted to produce, the songs. My sister was so kind as to help me do a logo. And I was so proud of it. And some other things that I did. But I didn't have the physical capability at that point to go ahead with CD. All I could do is just read my music and just memorize it and so forth. Well, anyway, I went on until I got the chance. I was going to physical therapy. I would go to physical therapy, do my exercises, come home and try to play on the harp. Tried a little bit, even if I just played one song. My fingers were stiff, I was stiff, and there was every reason at that point to really give up, really, to say I'll do it next year. But I hate to be told that I can't do something when I know I can, and I know God gave me the capability to do it. And that's what we have to do. When the enemy comes at us, when you know it's Satan, when you know it's the devil, and I know a lot of people don't like those terms, but that's who it is. Behind all the fancy things, that's who it is. And so I was determined to realize this dream. I knew it was the devil that had come against me. I was determined to overcome. And that's what you have to be doing. You have to be continually prepared to overcome the wiles of the devil. That's the tricks and schemes that Satan launches at you when you're accomplishing something for yourself and for God. But going on through the physical therapy of the 12 weeks, you know, I still had to practice the songs, get them on some kind of recording so that I could practice and look at them again. And you know what? I gave up. One thing I did give up, I gave up taking my harp to the sea, a major task, and I gave up that. Instead, let me tell you what I did. I bought this digital recorder from Radio Shack. I mean, it had some potency, but not the potency of a studio recording and acoustically. And because I prepared to go into the studio one song at a time, I told the guy, I'm going to do just one song at a time. I want to perfect it, go in and record it, and then I'll do the next one and so forth. And guess what? I gave that up because it was just too arduous. I was in too much pain. All kinds of obstacles and obstructions to the fulfillment of my personal dream to do the CD. And I wound up doing those songs in my house. I had help from my godson. He knew the electronics of it. And he helped me, you know, as I did each song. Now, was it perfect? No. Did I put all the time in, preparation time? I could have, no. I had to send the CD to be pressed. It was my first CD. I mean, it's kind of like an amateur project. It wasn't a big thing. But I had to send them somewhere. I forgot where. But they all did it by the Internet, and then my CDs arrived in the mail. I promoted my CD, even though I didn't even have the CD done yet. I promoted it before I got it done. And I was proud of it because the vision, I wrote it down. He said, write the vision and make it plain in Habakkuk. Write the vision and make it plain. I did. I wrote the vision. I put it up on the website, I did my CD cover. I acted just like I had it going on, except I didn't. I had an injured arm, an injured wrist. Well, anyway, finally I got a chance to promote my CD. I think by Christmas time I had visited about, I'm going to say 15 or 20 churches. And what I did, or bazaars, Christmas bazaars. That was another area where I went. I went to those bazaars, you know, set up. I had my big blown-up picture with me and my instrument and a big blown-up picture of me with my CD. And I went to Christmas bazaar, and I played the CD, and then people bought it or, you know, something like that. Or I would go to some Christmas plays and so forth. And I think I wound up going to about 15, 20 churches. I hired an assistant, and they assisted me with everything. And, you know, I realized that dream anyway. And I learned some kind of operational and business things that I did not know previously. But that vision can be improved upon. And so the thing I taught myself and God taught me was that, you know, you can be motivated to do anything despite the obstructions, despite the obstacles, despite the evil influences that may come to discourage you and me, you will win. That's why I always say I'm a winner, because I'm going to win. I'm going to persist until I win. And that's what God has promised us. Now, that's a long story. I didn't make it that short, but that's the bottom line, why I teach on this program, why I insist on motivating and exhorting. It's needed. It's needed in the body of Christ. It's needed for us. Now, I've probably spoken for most of my time today, but if I have, I'll cut it off. But let me tell you this. Let me give you the same scripture for this program. 1 Corinthians 13:12, it says, "For now we are looking in a dark glass, a mirror, that gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma." That's what I was in when I broke my arm. I'm like, what is this about? Get me out of here, Jesus. And it says, "But then we, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, and then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God." Satan launches those dark places when we're about to do something important. I think of another event, and I probably already said this before, but when I started law school, my first term, my dad died of a massive heart attack suddenly and without any indication whatsoever. That could have stopped me. It really could have. It really could have stopped me. I could have dropped out and never finished again. But it was there to stop me, and it did not. And so then another event came by, and another event. But still, the dream was realized. And that's why I continue with this program. There's somebody out there that needs to hear this, that needs to know that God will pull you through in the very dark places. And that's why I've named this program Seeing Clearly in the Dark Place. That's when you need to really see. There's the other, the opposite is when you're a real bright, sunny day, everything is going well, you can still be blinded by that. That's why we wear sunglasses, you know, because we can be tricked by that too. Everything's going well, everything seems fine, everybody likes you, everything's, you know, you have all the money in your pocket. Watch out. It's another place where you can stumble or be tricked by the enemy. Well, I'm getting to my title, Finally, Finally, Finally. Pure and Simple is my title of the program today. Let me tell you something, and I'm still reflecting on Hannah. I'm still reflecting on that story. And what I want to say is this. When God gives you a word, if you know God, let me tell you, it took me so long to really hear God's voice. More than 20 years, I prayed, and finally he prepared me to hear his voice. And when you prepare, he teaches you to rely on his voice, because normally when he tells you something, it looks just the opposite. It's just the opposite. He'll tell you like he did Noah, it's going to rain. It really is. It's going to tear. It's going to flood. It's going to be mud, and it's going to rain. And guess what? Everybody's going to be washed away. And they laughed, and they said, oh, ha, 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 ha. But the word of the Lord was true, and when it came to pass, Noah was prepared and everyone else was not. So when the Lord gives you a word, it doesn't even sound good. Let me tell you that. And normally, you don't even want to hear it. I don't know about you. I'm just being real today. I don't want to hear it most of the time. What did you say again? Are you kidding me? But when he gives you a word, it's true. And he will teach you to obey that word. Obey it, no matter what it looks like. Now, I'm telling you, it's going to rain. It's bright sunshine. Everybody's partying. They're barbecuing out there. Do you tell me it's raining and go on in and prepare? Are you kidding me? Okay. But he teaches you to obey the word, no matter how it looks like. You're obeying your spirit. And that pretty much prompted me as I continued to, focus on and meditate on Hannah, was this. As she endured all of these horrible torments and provocations from Peninnah, the one thing that God showed me about the pure and simple is this. When she went to the temple, and Eli was in the temple, and I told you he had some issues because his sons were, corrupt and doing not so good things, and, he just had some issues. But, like I said before, just because people have issues, it doesn't mean they're not going to be used by God. In fact, they're going to be used like God just as anyone else if they, listen to what God is saying. This is what I want to show you. The word of the Lord is simple. He doesn't have to talk much. When he has spoken to me, it's really in one and two word phrases, or he'll give me a scripture. I don't have the whole scripture. He'll say something like, he may mention something like I've had it mentioned to me recently, and I don't like all of it, but he said Joseph. Or he'll say something to me, just one word. And then that'll lead to a mad rush to my Bible to find out what he's talking about. Sometimes he'll give me a partial wording. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He'll say those things to me. And it's like I'm not even thinking about it. And I know it's a word that's from God. He's going to fulfill it. He's going to lead me to be prepared for the fulfillment of it. And to recognize it. I'm trying to save you here. I'm trying to show you something here. That's why I say, and the word is pure. Try to say, when prophets get up, oh, they're motivated like this. They're trying to control people. They want money. When the word of the Lord comes, is exactly true and it's pure. This is what I want to go to real fast. In 1 Samuel, and I'm leaving this passage of scripture. In fact, I'm going to go into the pure and simple passages of the Lord. If it's pure, if it's simple. It's pure, yes, and simple enough where you can understand it so that you can be led of God when that word comes. It's not a lot sometimes. Not a lot sometimes. And then I have been inspired by prophetic words that were pages long when I was in ministry school. Now, I haven't experienced that kind of outpouring in a long time, but I guess in the midst of going to ministry school every day, praying, getting the Bible, the outpouring was stronger and it was increased. But still, all of us walk, when we walk in the things of God, we'll hear his voice. This is what I want to tell you about 1 Samuel 1:17. After Hannah went in the temple and then she encountered Eli, Eli blessed her. It said, then answered, now she's had no children all these years, She's gone through all this stuff with Peninnah, provoking her day after day. Oh, Lord, we'll go into that. I'm going to leave that alone. But the bottom line is Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition and that thou hast asked of him. Let thy handmaiden find grace in thy sight. Okay, that's short. That's simple. But let me submit to you, it was a pure word from God, simply done. He didn't take 2 hours to bless her and lay hands on her and, tell her to fast and pray. And even though she had done some sacrificial praying there and offering, the word was pure and it was simple. Okay, he's going to grant you petition. Go that way. Wait a minute here. That's a little bit too simple. That's a little bit too simple. I've solved it all these years. You're going to tell me that's all I needed to hear? but it was a pure word, and it was a simple word. Let me go to this passage of Scripture. It's found in Psalm 12:6, the pure and simple word of God. It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. When God says a thing, it's been tried. That means it's been tested. It has gone through so much. The defeats, when you get back up, you fall, you get back up. When somebody tries to tell you you're nothing, you're not going to be anything, you're never going to succeed here, you're never going to succeed there. You simply don't fit. The word of the Lord is going to be tried. It can be tried seven times in the furnace of the earth. That's a hot furnace, let me tell you. I was in Hawaii. I saw where they cooked the pigs in the ground. I was standing over the pit. And that was some hot coals in that pit. But those coals are purifying. They're purifying those hot coals. But that's some kind of furnace in the earth, okay? A volcano. It's very hot, and it's purifying. He said, it's tried in those things. That means something unclean is going to leave out. Only the pure is going to remain. Only that which God has ordained and ordered shall stand in a hot furnace in the earth. But the words of the Lord are pure. Why? Because he's not going to lie to you. He's not going to lie to me. He's going to tell the truth whether you like it or not, whether I like it or not. He's going to tell the truth whether it looks like it's going to be or not. Hannah hadn't had children in years, years and years and years, and she was up in age. And all this priest said was, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Oh, that. How about the next verse? And he said, and she said, so I read that wrong, because the only thing Eli said in response to her petition was this, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition, and thou hast asked of him. How about that? How would you like to hear those simple words from a priest when you're all in trouble and provoked and bitter? What did you say? Go in peace. God has granted you your petition. I mean, I don't know about you, but I would be somewhat, if I were not trained and the Lord has not educated me, I would sometimes probably doubt that. And I'm very positive, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, right, yeah, right, yeah, right. But the Lord's words are pure and simple. Let me read to you Proverbs 15:26. It said, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Not only are the God's words pleasant, but the words of his people are pleasant. And they, too, will be pleasant. They will be full of faith. They will be full of power. And you will be blessed by God's word, the word of the pure. Those are God. See, if God's words are pure, if we say his words continually, then we are going to be pure as well. Let me go to another scripture. God's words are pure. I think I have proven that point to you today. I wanted to go to Acts verse 20:26. Forgive me for turning pages here today. I was trying to get to these. But it's Acts 20:26. Let me go to what it says. It says 26. It says, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Well, you know, this is Paul talking here. And the purity of the saints comes from God. It comes from the blood of Jesus' cleansing power that makes us pure. We are purified because we speak the words he speaks. We know those words are pure, and they are simple. They are purified by fire, and they've been tested and tried. And then we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus and purified when we accept him as Lord. And remember my message. The words of the Lord are pure. in very simple words. You know, a third grader can understand God when he speaks. I want to go to about one more scripture here. 1 Timothy 3:9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You see, when God is pure, we're going to be pure. We're going to think pure things. We're going to say pure things. We're going to be cleansed by his purity. Here, it says holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. You know, I've talked about the conscience. It is pure. It convicts us when there's evil around. It lets us know. There's an internal little bell that goes off. So if we're pure, we're going to have a pure conscience. They must possess the mystic secret of faith, Christian truth as hidden from ungodly truth, with a clear, pure conscience. So a clear conscience is a pure conscience. And so when God goes to give us the word, we can believe the word. It may be simple, like Eli in the temple, you know, saying something, "Oh, go thy way, your petition is granted." And, you know, but God will cause us to cling to, hang on to those very simple words. It may be one word, two words, or three words. And God gives us. And so we're to cling to those things until God performs the final fulfillment of those words. It turns out those words that Eli spoke were very true. There were a promise of fulfillment. Thank God for that. I'm really, really thankful today for God's words. Let me see if I can use one more scripture. Romans 16:19, it says, "For your obedience," and in parentheses it has loyalty. This is the Amplified version. "It's come abroad unto all men." See, people, you know, just like people love to speak negatively, spread bad negative rumors about you, there is also a rumor about your loyalty or your obedience. And your reputation can precede you with power if you are one that is obedient and loyal. "I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise," and in parentheses there in the Amplified version is well-versed. You know, get up to speed on what's up. Be well-versed, be well-educated. Ask questions, get answers. "I would have you wise." That's what wisdom is, you know, using knowledge in the best way. "Until that which is good," same way there is a word pure and simple concerning. Simple here means, this is the Amplified now, and guileless concerning evil. And that is what I'm saying to you today. The words of the Lord are simple. They're pure, and I might add, they're very, very positive. So be encouraged today if you're in that situation today. God may have given you a simple word. I'm here to exhort you and to motivate you to cling to the word, cling to the vision that God gave you, no matter how small it is. You know, the word is, despise not the day of small beginnings. There's something big in that small. There's something big in those very small words. Well, I'm going to stop there this time. That's all I have to say this time. Thank you again for tuning into the broadcast. You may go to blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archived broadcast of this episode. You may email me at BKS1233, I'm sorry, I got the wrong program here, seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. I don't think I've received an email at all from the listening audience, okay? Feel free to email me for prayer requests, for comments or questions, whatever you may have. I thank you again for listening to the program, and I'll see you next week.